You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are just about 4 hours away from Monday Night Football in Philadelphia. The Eagles with all kinds of quarterback questions welcoming in the Seahawks, who are in prime position atop the NFC West. Who makes a statement at Lincoln Financial Field tonight? All the latest on who to expect at quarterback for Philly in moments. A busy Sunday in Week 12. So much to get to. Dan Orlovsky, what stuck out to you?
The fact that Patrick Mahomes got a $500 million deal this offseason, it's probably not enough. I mean, the talent that is so special. He makes this offense not good, not great, but historically unstoppable. The Chiefs got a deal giving a guy $500 million, and he's my most favorite player to watch in all of the NFL.
Las Vegas Raiders, what the hell happened? Turnovers galore, 43-6 to the Atlanta Falcons. Now listen, I knew the Falcons could put up offensive numbers and output, but this is ridiculous. Just last week, we were talking about teams being afraid to play you guys, and then you get a 40 burger hung on you.
Last night's game wasn't a thriller, but I wanted to give some credit to the Packers offense because the Bears defense is good. Next Gen Stats has a cool stat called expected completion percentage, which is what a quarterback should be completing based on where his receivers are. Rodgers was supposed to complete 73% of his passes last night. That's the most in the NFL. Credit to the play caller, Matt LaFleur. That was a masterpiece.
Well, the MRI today revealed that Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback, has a strained right hamstring. He will be considered week to week going forward. And if he cannot play next week, just as he couldn't finish the game yesterday, that would mean that Colt McCoy would come on and start for the Giants. And also today, the 49ers said that they will be moving to Arizona for their next couple of home games starting next Monday night against the Buffalo Bills. We'll see when the 49ers decide to leave San Francisco due to the fact that Santa Clara County is restricting the contact that sports can have for the next few weeks, even though the NFL says there's been no evidence of transmission on the field of the virus. Santa Clara County is basically shutting down football in that area, and so the 49ers will be on the move to Arizona, Laura.
Adam Schefter with us all show long. The latest news around the league, of course. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Coming up later, the reasons why the Bucs aren't using Tom Brady correctly. Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, resident lifeline here, Marcus Spears,
yes. And
Adam Schefter. And let's get right back to Adam with a developing story, this coronavirus outbreak amongst the Ravens and this Ravens-Steelers game still in jeopardy, Adam.
Laura, let's bring you the very latest right now. The Ravens players are still waiting to hear when or even if they will be leaving for Pittsburgh. The team would have gone today for the game tomorrow night, but I'm told that the NFL, the Ravens, they are all waiting for the latest rounds of test results to come back. If there are no more positive tests, then there would be a chance that tomorrow night's game still could be played. But the sense and the tone that you're getting right now is that it's going to be increasingly difficult to play this game. And if it does not get played, and if it is postponed, that really becomes the most significant postponement of the season. Yes, the NFL's had other postponements earlier in the year, but that was before teams had bye weeks. The NFL had flexibility then that it will not have right now. And so we are waiting for the very latest word on whether that game tomorrow night will be played. With each hour that passes, I think the chances increase that it won't be played. But again, there's no final word. There is no decision right now. And we are still waiting for the very latest. And when we have it, Laura, we will certainly bring it to you.
Yeah, keep it locked right here for all of that information. Like Adam said, we'll bring it right to you the second that we have it. Marcus, should these teams, the Ravens and Steelers, be playing tomorrow night?
Hell no. It's simple. It's a simple answer. No. Listen, this is a number that we haven't seen in the league. And I get it. The NFL wants to trudge ahead. Obviously, there are ramifications, especially for the Steelers, that quite frankly, they don't deserve to be a victim of this as far as not getting paid if the game is canceled or pushed back. But the bottom line is you have a depletion of an organization. And it's hit the team more so, I think, than any other particular situation we've had all season long. We're talking about 20-something odd guys not being able to dress, suit up, and play in the game, in the NFL. So not only is that, look, we could talk about why they are at this point. Obviously, there will be disciplinary stuff happening already. But the bottom line is, it is more, you put players more in danger when you talk about lack of numbers and depth and trying to play a game as well. So there's a lot of things why this game shouldn't be played. But the main one is you don't have enough people.
I get that. You bring a lot of good points up. Don't forget they expanded the practice squad rosters. I don't know if the NFL had preparations or a thought process that 20-plus players could and would potentially test positive. But my pushback to you, Marcus, would be this. The Ravens, from what we've heard, this breakout started from a coach making a poor decision, exposing himself, and now it's spread throughout their football team. Why would they be, I don't want to be like sent a lifeline, so to speak, but like why would they allow have or be allowed to have their game postponed, but some of the other teams that have had minor outbreaks not be allowed to play the game? We saw the Broncos yesterday. We saw the Titans earlier this season. Why? Because it's a certain number? Like, is there verbiage in the new CBA that determined a certain number of players then wouldn't be allowed to play? That means the game gets postponed. Why does the Steelers season have to be completely in flux because of a poor decision within someone in the Ravens organization? So I get your point. I don't think there could be so many one-offs in this case.
Let's bring Adam back in for more context here. Yeah. Adam, go ahead.
Well, Laura, here's the situation, basically. It's all about identification, isolation, and containment. And the league felt like it had that in Denver when it let the Broncos play on Sunday, despite the fact that the Broncos petitioned the league to move the game to Tuesday, which the league denied. In this particular case, the league has been unable to contain the virus. Each time the league thought the virus was contained, it has not been. And so I think there are people who would be uncomfortable getting on that team plane tonight or tomorrow to fly to Pittsburgh when there are over 20 players on reserve COVID at this point in time in Baltimore. If the league feels like it's got the virus under control, this game will go on. If the league doesn't feel that way, it won't. And it's that simple right now, and it explains why Baltimore-Pittsburgh has been pushed back twice and why the Broncos and Saints were ordered to play on Sunday.
Yeah, Adam, to your point, everybody is at the mercy of the virus and how it's going to react, which we can't control. You mentioned the Broncos. They were forced to play without a quarterback Sunday against the Saints. Their entire quarterback room deemed high risk after not wearing masks following proper protocol once Jeff Driscoll tested positive. Here's Vic Fangio with more.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position, that our quarterbacks put the league in that position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team and, you know, leaders of the offense. And those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing.
So Drew Lock did release an apology on Twitter, one of these Broncos quarterbacks, supposed to be the starter. In a controlled and socially distanced area, he said, "We let our masking slip for a limited amount of time, an honest mistake, but one I will own. I sincerely apologize and fully understand why these safety precautions are so important. Doing the right thing for the majority of the time is not good enough." Mina, this forced practice squad wide receiver Kendall Hinton into action at quarterback, yeah, something that certainly he didn't ask for. What did you make of that Broncos game yesterday?
Laura, I understand what Adam said earlier about the league, why this game happened. There wasn't an outbreak. And it's not necessarily a given that the quarterback position should be treated differently. But I watched that game, and it should not have happened. Mm-hmm. Kendall Hinton, first of all, deserves all of the credit in the world, because what he did was extremely difficult and impressive and, frankly, brave. So good for him. But like Vic Fangio said, he should not have been put in that position, not only by his teammates, I don't know who broke the rules or when or what, but also by the National Football League, because this was not a football game. It wasn't. And I know people are saying, well, the Patriots had to play without Cam, and the Niners had to play without, you know, their team, half their team was missing, and we can't just change the standards on the fly. But guess what? This is the pandemic. You have to be open to changing the standards on the fly. And frankly, the NFL should have baked this in to the schedule. They should have been cognizant of the fact that situations like this would have arise and prepared for the possibility that the season would have had to go on longer.
Yeah, it really is interesting because continually the reports have all said that the NFL is not interested in an extended season, but we'll keep an eye on all that.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back to week 12 action. You know, they call him King Henry for a reason. I really think I saw him wearing a crown barreling over people yesterday. Let's get to it. Titans versus Colts. Dan Orlovsky, first quarter, no score. Derrick Henry getting it rolling.
A little bit of a pitch to get to the perimeter outside. That's 260-pound stiff arm. Just a really good job of them attacking all angles of the field in their run game.
Later in that drive, Henry gets the ball in space, touchdown.
Kind of the same thing, just kind of a throw where you got blockers out in front. It's a walk-in touchdown for Henry.
Second quarter, game tied right here, outside run, and of course he's going to score.
Again, another theme, capturing the edge, gaining the perimeter of the defense, and this is a beautiful job. Front side, clean up, backside. What great vision by Henry, and then the ability to break through some of those arm tackles.
He gets better as the game goes along. And here, later in that drive, breaking a few tackles there, scoring the touchdowns. Three touchdowns in the game. Titans win 45-26. And this was Derrick Henry's third career game with 175 yards and three scores on the ground. Hey, by the way, only Jim Brown and LaDainian Tomlinson have had more. And since Ryan Tannehill took over week 7 last season, Henry's led the league in almost every rushing category, including yards before and after contact. With the win, by the way, our Football Power Index gives the Titans an 88% chance to take the AFC South. Huge, crucial win for them. Dan, what do you think about this Titans rushing attack?
I mean, you either feel pressure or you apply pressure. And this is an offense, while they're not this juggernaut throwing the ball, they apply pressure with their run game. And that's why I love them so much. Look at front side. To be good front side, you got to have a hat on a hat, and you got to capture leverage. Get inside those defenders. That's great. But how about the second level? Again, the placement of where your helmet is in relation to where the defender is creates this huge seam 7 yards before you ever get touched. Now, you got to be good on the front side, great on the backside in the run game. Motion your tight end to a fullback position. Pressure is going to come off the slot. When you blitz, defensive linemen are going to slant. I just need one guy to shut off one of those slants. Left guard, Roger Saffold. Get your guy on the ground. That's good on the front side. Saffold, be great on the backside. Look at that. One cut makes it happen. Throw out in space. And again, you see vision by Derrick Henry to make him one of those special backs in the NFL. I said it before. You either feel pressure or you apply pressure. Yesterday's game is kind of one of the reasons why I love the Titans and I love their play caller, Arthur Smith, and their run game. I know the Colts were missing people. So were the Titans. Down two left tackles. Their left guard was questionable. Their center was questionable. They don't care. Their run game is as dominant as it needs to be, and that's why they're one of the reasons why I think they're a favorite in the AFC.
Yeah, you can go crazy when you got a cyborg at running back. And two, let me mention this before I talk more about Derrick Henry. DeForest Buckner is not getting paid enough, and Danico Autry being out was huge in this game. DeForest should have the quarterback salary on this team based on what we watched the Indianapolis Colts give up in that game in Russia. And listen, guys, the only way, and I know a lot of people, might be the first time people hear this, only way you stop great backs is your defensive line creates a new line of scrimmage. Your defensive line is not being cut on the backside. Athletic defensive linemen are more important to stopping the run than anything in football. Now, to the other side, Derrick Henry should be in the MVP conversation, and he should be right there with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Okay. And he's on pace to finish with 1,800 yards. He's at 12 now, averaging 4.9 a carry. But beside the numbers, that's Mina's thing. When you ask anybody watching in this league, and yeah, we know Mahomes, we know the importance of Aaron Rodgers, can we honestly say that Derrick Henry is not as important to the Tennessee Titans as those two guys that I just mentioned? I'll be hard-pressed to find a reason why he's not.
Mina's a little skeptical, but we're going to move to one other thing because, Mina, you've got more to say about this Titans offense than just Derrick Henry. What else impressed you yesterday?
Yeah, we'll save the MVP debate for another day. I mean, we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes later. But, look, I changed my pick at the last second on Friday. Marcus, you were there. I was with the Colts. And then we got the news that DeForest Buckner was out. And I panicked at the last second and changed it. And my goodness, was that a very fortunate change. Because we saw, like, sometimes it takes a game where a player doesn't play where you realize how valuable he was. I mean, there's a reason why Chris Ballard went out and traded a first to get DeForest Buckner. He wanted that three tech who could be disruptive against the pass and stop the run in his scheme, and he has been excellent all year. Certainly felt his absence. What I didn't anticipate was that losing left tackle Anthony Costanzo, who went down after the first two drives, would happen and also completely obliterate what the Colts were doing on offense. I mean, look at these stats. This is with Costanzo. Before he went out, 8.3 yards per play, down to 4.2. Without him, it was a completely different game. But I want to emphasize something. Dan made a very good point earlier when he said, yes, this was a game heavily impacted by injuries and players who were absent because of COVID, but the Titans had just as many guys out. They were down to their backup left tackle. David Questenberry, Jayon Brown was out, Jadeveon Clowney was out. They transcended those absences, and that's why they won the game.
Yeah, a couple of us didn't panic like you, Mina, and stayed with the Colts.
Wow, listen to you guys just patting yourselves on the back.
No. We had the wrong pick, though. But I will say this about the Colts. They're down. They're not out. Our Football Power Index believes they have a 12% chance to win the AFC South, but a 48% chance to make the postseason, so we'll see. How about this? Panthers DB Jeremy Chinn showed the fighting spirit on Sunday. Early in the third quarter, Chinn scooped up a fumble, returned it for a touchdown. Whew. On the very next snap, you guys, for the Vikings, Chinn did it again, returning another fumble for a Panthers touchdown. Chinn, only the third player ever to return two fumbles for scores and the first since 1948. My goodness. Very intriguing game tonight on Monday Night Football. For more, let's check in at the Domino's pregame headquarters with Adam Schefter. Adam, what do we know about the Eagles QB situation with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts?
Laura, there's a lot of chatter about this, but the truth of the matter is the Eagles have been doing just what they've been doing the last month, having Jalen Hurts take some reps during practice, as he's done for the last month. He's not starting tonight. It's not all that different. The only slight difference is this past week at practice, Jalen Hurts worked on some plays in which he threw passes when Carson Wentz wasn't on the field. But he took reps at practice this week the same way that he's done that for the last 5 or 6 weeks. I think there are some people who think that he could be starting, he could be replacing Wentz. The way it has been explained to me by various people is that it's the same thing that has been going on in Philadelphia for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's hard not to have a little smile when stating that news. They're about 3.5 hours away from Monday Night Football. We'll get to see it in person, see exactly what goes on. Adam, stay right there. We're coming back to you momentarily. Doug Peterson, by the way, has reiterated Carson's 100% our guy. But, Mina, is it the right time to maybe get Jalen Hurts a little more involved in this Eagles offense?
No, I actually don't think it's the right time to get him a little more involved. I think it might be the right time to get him a lot more involved, but you have to make a decision either way, right? Like what they've been doing and perhaps might be doing a little bit more based on what you believe is sprinkling him intermittently in the game, not giving him an entire series, hoping for some juice the way Taysom Hill occasionally would give juice to the Saints offense. But this isn't the Saints offense. Like tinkering around the margins isn't going to help the Eagles. That's like taking a bad song and just playing some tambourine on top of it. It's not helpful. If they want to see what they have in Jalen Hurts, let him play a game or let him play an entire half. I don't really see how mixing him intermittently helps anyone.
Well, listen, bearer of bad news must enter the chat, okay? First, two things can be true. We can identify all of the stuff that's going on around Carson Wentz and acknowledge the fact that he's playing with a tough deck of cards. That's number one. Offensive line, requisite weapons on the outside, play calling by the coach. We all agree on that. The second thing is this, all right? Carson Wentz has sucked, and that's why we're having this conversation. That's the bottom line. That's the truth. And the real reason that's relevant is because the NFC East sucks. So you don't go to Jalen Hurts to further my point because unbeknownst to people that's living under a rock, they can still win their division. And the person that gives you the best shot to do that is Carson Wentz. Now, I agree. I like the fact that Jalen Hurts is getting more reps because if you see Carson go out and he's abysmal, at least you can say we gave Jalen Hurts some reps if you have to go that way and make an in-game adjustment. But the bottom line is this, and then I'm going to get a floor to his brother, Dan Orlovsky. If Carson Wentz was not a $100 million quarterback, these conversations wouldn't be as intense. Such is life in the NFL. Such is life for a quarterback, all right? So now that he has his money, we expect him to lift a lot of those things we say that he's lacking. He's not. So in response, Jalen Hurts has the potential to play. Go ahead, Dan Orlovsky.
All right, let's make something very clear. This is the most important month this season for the Eagles. There's their four toughest games. If they want any chance to win this division that's beat up, they need Carson Wentz to take the great majority of the snaps, and he needs to have his best football that he's had all year. Now, what does that look like? Going to the game tonight, that'll kick off in about 3 hours. First of all, run more plays that I call Siri, C-I-R-I. Call it, run it. Just get to the line of scrimmage and just call plays and run them. Don't spend so much time trying to operate in perfection. Don't break the huddle with 10 seconds left and have no chance. Get to the line of scrimmage, take a mental breather, just call plays and go operate them. Let their instincts and reactions take over. Number two, get Miles Sanders out in space. He's actually a very, very good player. Get him a minimum of 15 to 17 touches tonight out in space. Number three, use Jalen Reagor as an actual wide receiver. He can do it. He's not just a gadget guy. Utilize him in a bunch of different routes. Number four, at least 10 times tonight, get Carson Wentz out of the pocket. At least 10, not scrambles, designed out of the pocket. That allows him to create offense for you guys. It allows him to play free. It gets him into the game, especially early on. Now going to Jalen Hurts. I got no problem using Jalen Hurts some, but it has to be situationally. Third and three or less. Maybe you bring him on the field, get Carson Wentz off. You can play 11-on-11 football. You can use some of the zone read. Down in the red zone, which you haven't been good on. Down in the red zone, 11-on-11 football, zone read, RPO, quarterback run. This is Carson Wentz's offense. He's got to play good football.
All right, 3.5 hours away from Monday Night Football. Keep it right here on ESPN for that. We have a developing story right now happening in the NFL. Let's bring Adam Schefter back in for that. What's going on, Adam?
Laura, I'm told that the NFL is now considering a third postponement to the Ravens-Steelers game. It's already moved the game from Thanksgiving to Sunday to Tuesday tomorrow night. That is now being scheduled, but I understand that basically it could be moved to later this week. And so the NFL continues to do everything it can to try to get this game played at any point in time. So it still could be this week, which would lead to other questions, of course. What would happen to the Steelers game in Week 13? What would happen to the Ravens game in Week 13? But it's possible that both teams could be playing a second game on a short week. But one of the moves that the league is considering right now is moving this game out of the Tuesday night slot to later this week, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. We'll see how it plays out, but that is certainly being discussed. It is on the table right now.
Yeah, just one reminder, too. There's no Thursday night game because Ravens-Cowboys move to next Monday. So you never know. Thursday could be an open slot right there for a spot for this Ravens-Steelers game. We'll keep you updated on every single thing. So, thanks so much, Adam, for all the latest there.
Y'all know what time it is. It's Big Man balling. Get off your feet, bro. Help him on his head, big fella. No, sir, you cannot pass go. Big man, touchdown. We got hands, too. He's an animal. Shout out to the double X, triple XL fellas. I remember when I used to do that. You made Big Man balling, big dog.
We balling.
Big Man balling in week 12. Marcus, who made the list?
All right, every damn week, y'all know I highlight the big fellas because sometimes we get lost by the wayside. The first man up, AD99, Aaron Donald. Hey, Raheem Mostert, duck. Oh, he missed it. Aaron Donald with the sprint, the sack, the run in the run game. He'll picks it up to the end zone. Y'all know the big fella can show up every week, but when he does something in the backfield creating havoc, I'm going to put it out there. Aaron Donald, keep balling. Rams, get your mind right, though. We need some W's. We know 99 going to show up. We need the other side of the ball to get it cracking. Next, let me take you to Green Bay, where the Smith brothers reside, the car accident attorneys. Zadarius causes the car accident, gets the sack, and then Preston Smith scoops and scores to bring you home to safety, baby. And you know what I love most about this? What I love is that this is the reason they signed these guys. And when the big fella score, what you don't see is they dance. You always gotta dance when you the big fella. Now everybody, call your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, law. Javon Kinlaw, then pick the football off. Anytime we get interceptions, I'm putting us on here. I don't know what that dive was. That's not a representation of big men balling, but this is. We have hands, sir. We can run, ma'am. We can do a lot of the things that the little guys do on the football field. And the big swag goo is just here to remind everybody there's a reason why we play D-line, because we're big men who ball and we're athletes. That's your big man balling this week. Everybody call your in-laws. Javon Kinlaw scored a touchdown.
Call your in-laws. I love it.
The best.
Smith and Smith, shout out to them.
Car accident lawyers.
Let's do a little dance for the big men before we go to our next thing. I'm not going to do it by myself. Come on, everybody. All right, Marcus, get in there. Okay, we're done. Anyway, you may have missed this as it happened around the middle of the second quarter of the Bears and Packers games last night, but our Mina Kimes had a million-dollar moment on national TV. Take a look at this.
Let's go.
I really wanted to go this far without calling my friend Mina Kimes. I am going to ask her, and hopefully she knows the answer to this. All right, Mina. Although he and his wife never touched a light switch for fear of being shocked, who was the first president to have electricity in the White House? Ulysses S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Chester A. Arthur, or Andrew Johnson? Grant, Harrison,
Grant.
Arthur, Johnson.
That would be the 1800s. I think it's probably Harrison.
Her words were, it's probably Harrison.
I'm going to go final answer. B, Benjamin Harrison, final answer. God, no.
Just won you $1 million for your charity. David Chang makes history. The first celebrity contestant to win $1 million for his charity on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Mina, we won $1 million. We did it.
Congratulations. Oh, my God.
Can you believe this? How proud is your mom going to be? Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for her to see this. Finally. My college education is justified.
Oh, Mina.
It's not justified by NFL Live.
Hey, don't rip on us that way. We're really smart here. Mina, I got to ask you, how nervous were you as David Chang, the chef, calls you up and you're his lifeline to try to win $1 million for charity, no less?
I'll just say, it's funny that I go on this show and I'm like, you gotta, you know, heads up football and make a play in the big moment, because I almost peed my pants there. So, I can't criticize anyone.
A little bit TMI. A little bit of TMI there. I'm
Mina,
not surprised, Mina. I'm not surprised. You're super smart. I mean, I got the answer correct, too, in our group text. NDD,
no, you didn't, Dan.
But might have Googled it. Might have Googled it.
You absolutely did not. Marcus, what'd you think about Mina?
Listen, summa cum laude, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
At a prestigious university, she's supposed to know all of the answers to all of the questions that everybody has. I expected nothing less. Great job, Mina. Now send us all a check, because I know Trane broke you off something.
Well, guys,
for winning $1 million.
It was for charity.
It was for charity. So I do want to
point. I know it was for charity.
Is a check.
I know.
But listen, we'll try to get on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Mina, and she'll give us a cut of the money later on. The money was donated to hospitality workers in need. Congratulations, Mina and David Chang.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
For more on tonight's game, let's bring in Lisa Salters on the call there in Philadelphia, and reports yesterday that Carson Wentz has been losing some first-team QB reps in practice to rookie Jalen Hurts. What did Doug Peterson have to say about this, Lisa?
Well, Laura, we talked with Doug Peterson yesterday just after that report surfaced, and Peterson said it was nothing unusual, that Hurts is and has been a part of the game plan all season, and that he got no more or less reps than he normally would this week. Peterson insists nothing has changed, that Carson Wentz is still 100% the quarterback of this Eagles team. Peterson said he gets it, that in Philly it's all about the head coach and the quarterback. When you win, there's praise, and when you lose, the heat's on you. Peterson understands that, but says it is full steam ahead with Carson Wentz. And to Carson's credit, he has not shied away from questions about the team's losing record or about his play this season. Entering the week, Wentz led the league in interceptions, sacks, and fumbles. He said everyone on the team is frustrated, but they all know that they can still win the division. Everyone has written us off, Wentz told us, but we are still confident. Laura?
Lisa, we'll see you and the crew in about 3 hours on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. Time now for some game picks. Looks like we're all on the Seahawks tonight. So, Mina, I'll go to you. What's one thing you're watching for?
I want to see if the Seahawks defense can sustain the momentum of the last two games. Can they continue to get pressure without blitzing? Carlos Dunlap has been great. Can the return of Shaquille Griffin, their best cornerback, make a difference in their pass coverage? That's what I want to see, because that's what's going to keep them from being a Super Bowl team if they don't stay on top of it.
Yeah, we'll also see what Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf look like tonight. But how about another quarterback-receiver combo, Mahomes and Tyreek Hill?
Coming at long, Tyreek Hill holds it in. Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. He backflips into the end zone. Touchdown!
Yeah, I play hard. I practice hard. You can't guard me.
The cheetah putting on a clinic.
Help is on the way.
One of the greatest first quarters in National Football League history.
I leave you like a cheetah in your traps. I can't be stopped.
Game, set, and match.
The most deadly weapon in the National Football League, you saw it tonight, man.
The first quarter for the Chiefs against the Bucs was unbelievable, but then the Bucs got back in it. Let's pick it up. The Chiefs' final drive, just over 3 minutes to go. Mahomes buying time in the pocket.
This is what we've seen, really, his game go to a next level over the last 2 years, is his awareness, escaping the pocket, and then staying in bounds, keeping that clock running.
Later in the drive, 2 minutes to go. Mahomes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, good. Second and nine, get the ball in his hands. This is managing the situation, getting yourself to third and seven. I love this play call, Laura. Sprint out left. Usually a team will run the football there. No, they trust their quarterback, they trust their offensive line, and they trust Tyreek Hill to get exactly where he needs to, get the depth for a first down, make the catch, Game over.
Game ceiling first down there. Chiefs win 27-24. And Marcus, everyone's going to try to point to the Bucs defense, how they could have defended better, right? But that's not where your attention is. Why is that?
Nah, because, Els, listen, if you give up 27 points to the Kansas City Chiefs, with everything that we've talked about that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have at their disposal offensively, you're supposed to have a shot at winning that game. And look, we all know what happened the first half, and we saw Tyreek Hill, and I was scratching my brain trying to figure out what the hell is Todd Bowles doing. Get somebody over there. Call the police, please. He needs help, and he still wouldn't do it. But they got that fixed for all intents and purposes as this game went along, and they determined that he wasn't going to be the one to beat him. And then you end up with a 27-point game that you held Patrick Mahomes to. Now, I'll say this, all right? This is the new NFL. When you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs and you have Tom Brady, Mike Evans, an offensive line, Rojo in the backfield, you got Antonio Brown, Gronkowski, and you say they're going to score 27 points, we need y'all to get 30 against this defense. That's really feasible. That's something that you would think that you would have the opportunity to do. Because holding the Kansas City Chiefs to 27 points is as hard as holding anybody to 40, right? So, look, that is the point for me. We could talk defense, and yes, Bowles made his mistakes. The cornerbacks gave up some things that we were anticipating that they would give up. But the bottom line is this. They held the Kansas City Chiefs to 27 points, and it took Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, and Brian Leftwich too much time to get going offensively to make this a game at throughout the duration of the game.
Yeah, we've made no secret how we felt about the Bucs offense on this show. And, Dan, I wanted you to take a listen to what Bruce Arians said today. He was asked about the use of motion or lack thereof in the Bucs offense.
We've done it in the past, and we did it for years. I never see a lot of quarterbacks. You know, Peyton Manning never wanted anybody in motion. So each quarterback's so different what they want the motion for. We have used jet motion a little bit. I'm not a big fan of it. If it's going to disrupt what you're doing versus just blocking people.
Has Tom Brady asked for more motion in the offense to help him identify coverages?
That's the motion that we use, yeah. We do as much as he wants.
Here's my thing with the comments from Bruce Arians. One thing is unlike the other. Like, Bruce has never used a ton of motion. It's never been a staple of his offense. And right now, the Buccaneers don't use a lot of motion. Tom Brady has always used a ton of motion, third most in the NFL over the last 5 years. And the Bucs don't use a ton of motion. So you tell me who's winning here. You mean to tell me that Tom Brady, at 43 years old, decided I want to go to a place and do things that I've never done before when it comes to scheme? I want nothing more than to play stagnant football where I just get my head beat in. No, I've had a ton of success using motion. I don't want to use it anymore. I've had a ton of success using play action. I don't want to use it anymore. I've had a ton of success owning the line of scrimmage. I don't want to do it anymore. That's my struggle with listening to those comments.
Look, I understand why we're criticizing the Bucs offense. We've been doing it all year. I share some of the frustrations with the play calling, the lack of play action, the inexplicable use of Leonard Fournette. But Tom Brady is not above reproach, right? And I think we need to characterize this correctly. It's not scheme holding back a transcendent quarterback. It's a quarterback who needs more help.
Sure.
Because he is no longer a transcendent quarterback. It's a quarterback who leads the NFL in interceptions when he's pressured, okay? So this is a failure on all parts of the offense. It's not just the coaches, it's Brady as well, and he deserves criticism too.
Blame all the way around there. Guys, breaking news right now on NFL Live, a story we've been following all day with the Ravens and the Steelers. Adam Schefter with the latest.
Well, Laura, we talked about the last segment, the fact that this game could be postponed again, and that's exactly what just happened moments ago. The NFL has postponed the Ravens-Steelers game that was supposed to be tomorrow night to Wednesday night. This is the third postponement. So a game that was supposed to be played on Thanksgiving night now will be played 6-7 days later in Pittsburgh. There's not a time yet set for the kickoff of this game. There's not a network, I think, selected for this game yet. I don't know whether NBC will or won't be doing this game, but we know that the game currently now is being rescheduled to Wednesday, which will put pressure on week 13 when Washington plays at Pittsburgh, when the Ravens are supposed to host the Cowboys. Those teams will have short weeks to get ready for their next week. And obviously, this will also mean that there are no other positive tests in Baltimore. I think the league feels like it's got a pretty good handle on it right now. But again, the big news just coming down, that game pushed back yet again.
Adam Schefter with all the latest. And just to remind everyone, the Ravens with 20-plus positive tests amongst their players right now. Marcus, you said off the top of the show you didn't think that this game should be played tomorrow. It's been postponed now to Wednesday. What's your reaction?
I mean, I guess the only reaction I have is that they need to make sure that they get as much time for testing to come back negative as possible. That's the only reason I see it being moved, well, postponed to Wednesday, which makes sense. Like, they weren't going to get the results by tomorrow's game. So maybe an extra day in a league that's testing every day and getting results as fast as they can. They may can limit that number of players that doesn't have the ability to play by half if these tests come back negative. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, the best news I heard out of that was when Shefty referenced that there doesn't seem to be any more positive tests.
Yeah.
That's outstanding news. And that being said, I have nothing better to say than the best and most flexible team, the team that will get past the complaining and move on to getting the game done, will handle the situation the best.
All right, Mina, what should we be looking out for tonight as we get closer and closer to Eagles taking on the Seahawks?
I'll be watching that Seahawks defense. And by the way, I'm glad we're not on tomorrow in case the Seahawks lose, because I can't face Orlovsky.
Sorry. I heard some.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.